Our second scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus asked his disciples to get into the boat and go before him while he sent the crowds away. And when he had done so, he went up a mountain to pray, away from the retreating crowds. When evening fell, he was alone. But the disciples in the boat were in the middle of the sea, tormented by raging swells, for the wind was strong. Just before dawn, Jesus went to them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the rolling waves, their minds were as uneasy as the water. They cried out in fear, "Are we awake? Are we imagining a man on the water?" But Jesus called to them, saying, "It's all right. Don't be afraid. It is me. I am here." Peter answered the call, saying, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. And Peter came down from the boat and walked towards Jesus on the water. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he was struck with fear. And beginning to sink into the water, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand, grabbed Peter, and asked him, "You have a little faith. What made you waver?" When they got back into the boat, the winds grew weary of raging, and there was peace on the water. The men in the boat came to Jesus to kiss his hand, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. So this has been a weird year, understatement, and I think that we could all put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples on the boat, surrounded by waves that we can't control, waves that feel overwhelming, waves that seem like they're going to change everything around us into a new and unrecognizable world. It could be easy to feel very alone, surrounded by water on all sides, with Jesus far away, back on land, praying by himself on a mountain. Anything could happen. They're in a weird in-between place, on a boat but not able to control where they go, in the darkness just before dawn that isn't full night but isn't morning yet either. I think we can understand that too, as we wait for information that doesn't exist yet, because even after long months of this disease burning its way across the globe, there is still an awful lot that we just don't know. This is a difficult in-between place to be in. There's a rock. There's a hard place. We're right in the middle. But Jesus is always in the weird in-between places, the unknown places, the waiting places, the transitioning places, the anything could happen places. In between day and night, just before dawn, Jesus is there with us. In between shores in the middle of the sea, Jesus is there with us. In between waking and sleeping, Jesus is there with us. In all the in-between places, in all the unexpected places, in all the lonely places, Jesus is there with us. Jesus is everywhere, which means that sometimes he is indeed where we expect him to be, in the church, in the hospital, in the soup kitchen, in the cemetery. But Jesus is everywhere, which means that more often than not, he is where we would never think to find him. Alone in the middle of the sea, on the empty streets, in the open fields, at the computer, in a love song. Jesus is everywhere. But Jesus still understands the difficult place that we are in. He can feel the spray of the waves hitting him from every direction, and he can feel the fear of his friends on the boat. Jesus knows what it means to be human, and he understands the pain that being human brings with it. Not long before this scene on the waves, Jesus learned of the death of John the Baptist, his cousin and his friend. It is not easy being human. We are surrounded by fragile things, like life. Anything could happen. And God asks difficult things of us. God calls the prophets to go to places they'd rather not go, preaching a gospel that oftentimes people would rather not hear. Last week, God called Sarah and Abraham to trust that their descendants would be as numberless as the stars, called them to wait a seemingly impossibly long time. God called Amos to journey north to remind Israel to follow the ways of the Lord so that justice could once more flow like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. God called Moses to lead a slave rebellion. God called St. Francis to leave behind a life of comfort and privilege and to lead a humble community. God called Martin Luther to leave the church he loved and live his faith at the risk of his own life. God called Harriet Tubman to protest the wicked institution of slavery by leading people to freedom, human beings who were no less valuable in the eyes of God than anyone else. And of course, God called Jesus himself to be executed at the hands of a tyrannical state for the offense of breaking unjust laws. God doesn't often call us to die for our faith, but God does call everyone to live for their faith, and that isn't always easier. Living for our faith can feel as daunting as being called to walk on water. It is a scary thing to be vulnerable, to take risks, to go against what is culturally expected. But God calls us to listen to each other, to take care of each other, to stand up for each other, to learn from each other. God calls us to become better people, even though God loves us just as we are. God calls us to have the courage to listen to hard truths. There are a lot of hard truths being called out in between the crashes of the waves in this storm. We are a long way from a vaccine. And that means that masks and social limitations are going to be our reality for a while to come. It is a hard truth, but not one that we can ignore. We live in an unjust society, full of institutions that have needed reform for longer than we'd like to admit. It is a hard truth, but not one that we can ignore. Without meaning to, without intentional malice, without blanket hatred, we act differently around people who don't look like us or come from the same background. It is a hard truth, but not one that we can ignore. Racism is alive and well, and we really need to do something about it, all of us. We need to learn from other people and perspectives, and then we need to look deep inside ourselves and think about the assumptions we have made about other people. It is a hard truth, but not one that we can ignore. There is a lot of hurt in this world. Sometimes it's hurt we can't do anything about. Sometimes it's hurt we helped cause. Sometimes it's hurt we never even knew was there. These hard truths are the waves that we're called to walk on. And we are not going to be able to. We are going to sink. Humans cannot walk on water. That is not failure. That is just being human. Because we are not Jesus. We are not perfect. We cannot be exactly like Jesus Christ, no matter how hard we try. No one person can do all of the work that God calls us to do. But the thing is that when we step out of the boat and onto the water, there will be a moment, however short, before we start to sink. And as we move out of the boat, we are moving towards Jesus, shortening the distance between us, even if it's only by a few steps. And Jesus rushes towards us, lifting us up out of the water, as proud of us as if we'd just learned to walk for the first time. Jesus is always coming towards us, eager to help us, because we cannot do any of this alone. It's a process, all of it. And it's never as fast or as successful or as painless as we'd like it to be. But I do believe that even if the arc of the moral universe is long, nevertheless, it bends towards justice. Because we continue to bend it with every step we take off the boat and into the water. Jesus is constantly moving towards us. And I think that humanity is constantly moving too, moving towards justice, even if that movement is hard to see sometimes. And somehow, as we move towards him and he moves towards us, Jesus will take this world that has been so tangled up in the storm, and unravel the threads of our hurt, and weave them into a net, until we are all swept up and brought closer into the loving embrace of God. Anything can happen then.